Hey, well, happy 2016. It's great to have you here with us this morning. That's what we're hoping for every single one of us as we begin this brand new year, is that, you know, we would have better days in this upcoming year, that we would actually get to this place where we see that we have a bright, bright future in front of us. So it's great to have you here with us this morning. My name's Kurt, by the way. If we haven't met, it's great to meet you here this morning. If it's your first time with us here at Crosspoint, man, we're super excited you've chosen to join us today. And the macro statement for the day is this: your vision for 2016 is going to determine your direction for 2016. All right, let me say it again. Your vision for 2016 will determine your direction for 2016. So as we look today at what it means to have a vision, I hope that we can get to this place where we have this sense of positive expectancy within us that the future actually is bright. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive into this together. God, thank you for every life that is in this room this morning. God, thank you for every life that's listening to this on the podcast, on the web. And God, we're still here in 2015. We're looking forward to 2016. Likely, we'll still be here in 2016, though our hope is that when we get to this time at the end of next year, beginning of the following year, that we're in a different place. God, I just pray that you would help us to all be in a better place over this next year as a result of applying your principles, leaning on your character. And God, I just pray that you help me to be clear today. God, thank you for the privilege of representing your timeless truths, for being able to talk about your character today. God, you are generous to include me in this. So thank you. I pray these things in your name, your character, and your identity, Jesus. Amen. All right, well, how many of us have set some kind of goal for 2016, resolution, strategy? Let me see a few more, any more? Okay, about half of us, maybe. You know, here's the thing. That's wonderful you did that, because if you don't determine some kind of strategy or something you want to do different in 2016, guess what? You're going to end up at the same place at the end of the year that you are right now. And so, you know, there's something about identifying a place that I want to grow, an area that I want to change in, and that I want to have a brighter future in. And so today, we're going to be taking a look at one of my favorite Old Testament stories. It's a guy by the name of Nehemiah who has a vision, and he has this vision that's going to actually alter his life. And not only is it going to alter his life, but it's going to alter this whole community of people that he's living with as he rebuilds the physical walls around their community. And so before we look at that today, in this room, there are two types of people. All right, there's two types of people. You're either one of two types of people here today. And so I'm going to tell you the two categories of us that are in this room so that you can identify which one you are. Though I know you're not going to do that because you like to judge people, right? It's so much fun to judge people. So you're going to probably see these and be like, oh man, my spouse is definitely this one, or you know, my neighbor is this one. Try to not do that as I show these to you, okay? So the two categories that every single one of us fall into today, you're either positively expectant or negatively observant. All right, so you're either positively expecting, you're like, woo, man, 2016, here we go, can't wait to get out of here today. Colts are going to win and get into the playoffs. Yes, they are. Then all the other nine teams are going to win too, and we are going to be in the playoffs. Can't wait, let's get the service over. Who's out there positively expecting today? Yeah, the few of you in blue jerseys. I know, the blue goes down as we've gone through the year. Have you noticed that? All right, and then the negative observers are like, oh, man, dude, 2015 was awful. Awful. No hope for 2016. No way the freaking Colts are ever going to make the playoffs. Even if they do, they're going to lose in the first round. They always do. You know, no stinking way. All right, negatively observant. So there's one of two categories that all of us fall into, and here's the thing that bothers me the most, all right? The thing that bothers me the most about the negatively observant is they're most frequently the church-going people. I don't know why that is. I mean, they really are, and I don't understand it at all. Because, you know, the God that I read about in my Bible, man, he has a hope for the future. Right? I mean, he talks about the future being positive and bright and how God actually has good things in store. In fact, Jesus talked about his mission. One of the very first things he did was talk about his mission, which when he did this, he referred back to an Old Testament passage when he said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news Sometimes we're like, good news, ah, the good news of the gospel. Remember when you old church, you'd be like, everybody'd be like, oh, the good news. Sounded so negative, right? No, it's the good news, right? It's the good news to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's good news. Why is it good news? Because it's the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you believe 2016 is the year of the Lord's favor? You should, yes, a few of you. Yeah, I'm glad you're interacting with me. First service was so dead. I think they were hungover. I'm not sure. They were so dead, right? This is the year of the Lord's favor. And here's the thing. The more in line you are with God, the closer you are with Jesus, the more veracity that statement should hold for you. Because you believe there's actually a future that is bright. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament prophets. It's kind of interesting because, you know, whenever people think about the prophets in the Old Testament, at least the negatively observant people, they're like, oh, man, gloom and doom. That's all they ever do, bring them bad news. Well, you know, Jeremiah's not that way. Take a look at what he says. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God says, that's my plan. Now, the negatively observant among us are like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is the Old Testament, Kurt. Old Testament, that's for the nation of Israel. That was like a couple millennium ago, right? A millennia ago. I mean, that is old stuff. That is not for today. You know, it's so interesting to me that the negative observants think that. You know why? Because the negative observants have no problem applying the Ten Commandments to modern-day America. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you know, I was just driving down the highway the other day, and I saw this billboard. It said, what part of thou shalt not didn't you understand? Well, that's a negative observant to put that up. And they think, oh, that came from the same part of the Bible as Jeremiah. But it's like the negative observant person's really good at applying all the difficult stuff. But anytime it's like, God has a future for you, they're like, no, no, God is mad. God is mean. There's no bright future. And yet God is saying, no, 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 no. I have a bright future for you. Nehemiah, this Old Testament leader, he has the ability to see something that no one else could see. And he hears from God, and he actually gets a chance to create the future because he responds to something God calls him to. And all of us can take cues from this. So we're going to look at this story today and pull out some principles from this. So in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, this is what Nehemiah is saying. He's saying, one of my brothers came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. So Nehemiah is able to get a vision right here. And a vision is something that currently isn't happening, but that will actually lead to brighter days ahead. And so, you know, visions are not, hey, hunker down, the world's a terrible place, you know, be aware. That's not a vision. That's not a vision. Vision is always about taking something and moving it forward so that we can have a better life, a better place, a better world. We actually move things forward. So five big ideas today. Number one, noticing trends leads to new vision. Noticing trends leads to new vision. So Nehemiah notices that the wall of his city, Jerusalem, has been crumbled. It's been attacked and it's down. All right, there's a blight on his city because the wall is down. And apparently a lot of people have seen that the wall is down, but nobody's been bothered by it. Well, Nehemiah gets bothered by it. He gets bothered by it and he sees this trend. See, having vision is when you have enough space in your life that you can actually see things that other people can't see. It's when you can see the possibility in something, even in its current state, that other people can't see the possibility in. So the negative observant type, they're like, oh yeah, man, the walls are down, it's terrible, our city is gloom and doom, everything's terrible. You know, but Nehemiah, he's like, no, the wall's down, that's an opportunity right here. And not only is it an opportunity to fortify the defenses of the city by building up the walls, but he sees this, there's a blight on our city. There's a blight on the identity of my people, and I'm going to rebuild the walls to restore their dignity, to restore their self-esteem. See, you and I, we have to get to the place where we see these trends that are going on, where we see trends and we take risks in order to create a better future. And the negative observant person will never take that risk. See, the negative observant person, they never want to do that because they always want to do the same thing because it freaks them out to do anything new. They're like, whoa, be afraid, whoa, be scared. Is that word scared? It is now. Be scared. See, that's not the heart of God. That God is not based on fear. In fact, the trends of our world, this is going to really bum some of you out today, right? Those of you who like to be on the negative wagon train, this is going to bum you out. The trends of our world are looking really good right now, I don't know if you've noticed that. I mean, the trends worldwide are looking phenomenal. In fact, I ran across this video of a former astronaut that I think we could really benefit from this morning. Take a look.
Moving so fast. Just standing on the equator with the world spinning underneath us, we're all going over 1,000 miles an hour. What if, just for a moment, we stopped? There are problems with everything, and nothing's yet perfect, but that shouldn't be cause to bemoan. That should be cause to achieve. Our world is a better place than we often claim it to be. We're living at an all-time high for health and wellness, and literacy has been sharply on the rise for decades. More people are living longer, and during childbirth, both infant and maternal mortality rates have plummeted in the last century, saving the lives of millions. We've seen a host of horrific diseases completely eradicated, and there are many more for which eradication is underway. We live the way we do because people chose to tackle their problems head on. In 100 years, we've gone from filming the Wright brothers to landing a camera on Titan, a moon 800 million miles away. There are a growing number of organizations and foundations leading the way to research, innovate, and affect change in the world. And partnering together, they're helping the world's poorest people lift themselves out of hunger and poverty. When thinking if you're going to be optimistic this year, remember, nobody changes the world on their own. It all starts with a resolution. What's yours?
I mean, how cool is that? Good stuff, right? I mean, there's a lot of good things going on in our world. And here's the thing. If you want a bright future, all right, one of the keys is when other people get freaked out, that's when you start going forward. You know, about the last 8 years, I've been driving a 1998 Ford Expedition. Man, it's been an awesome truck. Triton, you know, 5.4 liter V8. You know, man's truck, right? I mean, you know, I could haul anything in that thing. And you know what I bought my truck? You know what I bought my truck? I bought my truck back in 2008 at the start of the Great Recession. You know, when everybody was like, oh, man, the world's gloom and doom. You know, we're going to be living in caves and driving bicycles the rest of our lives. That's when I bought my truck. In fact, I thought, you know, there's not a better time in the history of my life to buy a gas guzzler than right now. That's what I thought. And I got a really, really good deal on it as well. And so, you know, I mean, I could put all kinds of stuff in that truck. I mean, I could haul full sheets of plywood. I hauled a coffin one time. There was nobody in the coffin, but, you know, tell you what, go through Starbucks with a coffin in the back of your truck, you get some looks, right? I had the whole store in the drive-through. And I just sold my truck about a week ago. Man, it was a sad day for me, but I tell you what, I noticed a trend back in 2008. I said, you know what? I don't care if the recession's going this way. This truck is going to be good for me. And it was a phenomenal truck. Phenomenal truck. You know, when we first started raising capital to build this place, this facility, this building, back in 2010, there were virtually no churches doing construction at the time. In fact, you know, when both of our capital campaigns, 2010, 2013, you know, people told us, man, you guys are crazy to try to raise funds to build something in this volatile economic climate. And yet, we did it. Nonetheless, we did it. We saw a trend. And in fact, you know, one of the cool things about Crosspoint is, you realize every year since Crosspoint began, we have increased in generosity. Every single year, our income has gone up, which has given us more and more fuel to change people's lives. How about that? Way to go, Crosspoint. That is awesome. Awesome. And I tell you what's awesome about that. That is virtually unheard of in church life today. Unheard of. But you see, this happened because there were leaders that saw a trend and said, you know what, we don't care what the economic climate is. We see things that need to take place, people in our community that need to come to a place to see who Jesus is. And listen, we're one of the first ones to build right here because we saw a trend. I'm telling you, friends, I'm telling you, it's not the most intelligent that have a bright future. It's the bravest who have the brightest future. A lot of people saw it. Very few people are willing to do anything about it. See, vision is about spotting trends. Number two, vision comes when things are going well. Vision comes when things are going well. You know, Nehemiah, he actually has the mind space to spot this vision, partly because he's doing well. And he notices this burden that his city he grew up in, Jerusalem, has been, the walls have been torn down, and he feels this burden to restore not only the walls, but the dignity of the city. And he has friends in high enough places. He's doing well enough. His friends in high enough places. He can go to them and others to help resource the rebuilding of the walls. Now I know right here in this room right now, we have people that are going through really hard times for a variety of reasons. All right, and then the rest of us that might not be in a hard time, man, just count your blessings right now, because eventually you'll be in a hard time. We all go through hard times at one time or another. So this series is not about just like, oh, bad stuff, stay away. Let me click my, you know, glittery heels and cross my fingers and only positive comes my way. No, this series isn't about, you know, the denial of reality. All right. It's just that one of the things I want us to see is that, you know, sometimes when we're dealing with hard things, we're problem solving and we're planning. Well, that's not vision. All right. See, vision actually comes when we're at a stable place of balance and sanity in our life, where we actually have the space for new ideas and new things to begin to emerge. And the great thing about most of us in here today is that we have more mental space right now than has ever been present in human history. I mean, think about it. You're not thinking about how to kill, you know, what you're going to eat for dinner tonight, right? Like most of humanity has throughout the course of history. You're not thinking about how am I going to, you know, keep my house warm tonight, like most human beings have throughout the course of human history. I mean, we have mind space to think about things and do things and create in a way that many, very few have previous to us. And there are many metrics. There are actually many indicators that show us that the world is actually a better and better place with each passing day and week. In fact, I saw this graph by Steven Pinker. The rate of battle deaths in armed conflict, look at this, since 1945, it's been going down, down, down. I mean, it's a better place. People dying of genocide, percentage-wise, per capita in our world, is smaller than it's ever been in human history. And yet, the news is like, oh, everything's terrible. The world's a terrible place. Be scared. You know, I mean, it's constantly telling us to be afraid, and yet the data indicates the opposite. I think one of the reasons why in our country we have so much negative observancy going on is we have a whole industry that gets their paychecks by negative observancy. It's called the media. Ever notice this? I mean, it's like the more you tune in to find out how the world's going to end, when it's going to end, what's the latest murder in our community, you know, you see another soap commercial, you know, you see. And I mean, this is how our economy works. It's like we have to keep the industry going. And just to give you an example of this, this kind of was fascinating. Let me show you a video of how our country and another country in the world responded to one of the latest, you know, quote unquote, world crises on the world global stage. Take a look at this short little scene here.
What's been going on? Well, there's been one story dominating the news, Ebola. Now, here is how it was covered in Britain.
Ebola cases in West Africa approach 9,000.
Hundreds of British troops are being sent to West Africa.
A small number of cases will reach the UK.
We can contain it.
Britain is at the forefront of preventing the spread.
A message for the public. Don't worry.
Calm. Measured. In America, not so much.
Fox News alert now, the Ebola emergency here in America.
The killer virus.
Spreading much faster than efforts to contain it.
Spiraling out of control.
Stop admitting West Africans into America right now.
So many questions.
Can they go to the movies?
Hospitals aren't ready for Ebola.
All hell is about to break loose.
I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I'll say it again. The media, the fear we have that's driven by the media is unbelievable. Listen, you have a greater chance of being with Kim Kardashian than you do of dying from Ebola. You really do. All right, more people have been married to Kim Kardashian in the last couple years than people have died of Ebola. I mean, it's like swine flu, bird flu, Ebola. Oh, be aware, everybody, take cover. You know, it's like the media freaks us out. See, we have to get to this place where we have space that's absent of fear and paranoia so we can actually get moved emotionally. See, Nehemiah gets moved emotionally because he's not operating out of this fear-based posture of negativity. In fact, he gets moved emotionally. He hears and gets the vision from God. Here's what it says. He says, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his covenants, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant. Which, by the way, what kind of God is Nehemiah fueled by right here? Is it a God who's just ready to blow up on him at any given moment? No. It says it's the kind of God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. See, this is the foundation for vision, a God who keeps covenant and is steadfast in his love for us, steadfast in his goodness for us. I mean, if we think, you know, if we operate out of this fear-based understanding of God, that God's just ready to thwap me across the neck, you know, next time I turn around, I mean, we're never going to have a vision. Notice also here, it's very fascinating that it is after Nehemiah is moved, it's after he gets the vision that he prays. This is really important, all right? Prayer is a vital part of life, all right? Prayer is always good, but the vision doesn't come while he's in prayer. The vision comes while he's out in his community, you know, noticing the trends that are going on. He notices them, gets a burden for them, goes back and consecrates them to the Lord. He consecrates them. Why does he do this? Well, because he believes that things have been going well for me. This is a problem, but why would I believe things aren't going to continue to go well? Well, why does he think that? Well, it's because he thinks God is good. That's why. I don't know why it is. I don't know if you've noticed this. I don't know why it is at all the major demonstration events across our country. It's always church people who, you know, have the cardboard box, you know, boards that are holding up saying, you know, die or, you know, repent or die, right? The world's coming to an end. You know, they're always negativity. You know, one of the most accurate cardboard signs I saw recently came out of social media out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, I believe. And it was like some street party. And I don't think the dude believed in God, but he had this sign that said, God is in a good mood. Do you believe that today? Man, God is in a good mood. You should believe that today. I mean, anybody that thinks, man, God has this pent-up anger and he's frustrated and he's just waiting to unleash his wrath on the world. Listen, they're mistaken. Right, they're sorely mistaken. And I mean, let's be clear. God, you know, is a God of justice. God is a God who has an emotional aspect to him. All right, God, you know, does have wrath at times. All right, God likely isn't happy with everything that's happening in our world today. So I'm not diminishing these things. I'm just saying this idea that God is controlled by you and I, and based on how good or bad things are going here, that's put God in a bad mood. That's just bad theology, right? That's unbiblical. God is in a good mood, man. He is in control. You know, contrary to you and I freaking out, God's like, man, I've got this. I'm good. Because he's got plans for us. He's got plans. I'm telling you, one of the best things you can do in 2016, and I'm going to tell you right up front, this is a little bit self-serving, all right? One of the best things you can do to secure a good future in 2016 is to be at Cross Point every single weekend. And I'm telling you, every single week, I know it sounds a little self-serving, but I want you to think about it. I mean, every now and then, you might leave Cross Point, and you might be like, yeah, that didn't exactly connect with where I was today. Or you might, you know, just be mad. You know, you'd be like, oh, they stepped on my toes. Well, we're equal opportunity offenders. We offend everybody. All right, so don't get too offended. It's nothing personal. But, you know, you have a greater likelihood of leaving a service at Cross Point or any other church that really communicates and teaches the character of God in feeling like I'm more positive about the future than when you walk out of, say, a Pacers game, right? Or a Colts game, for that matter, right? I mean, you're going to be more positive walking out of here, especially this year. You know, you have a higher likelihood of being like, you know, there's good stuff going on in the world when you walk out of here than when you walk out of, like, a movie, let's say. You know, you're going to feel more equipped for your week, like you're ready to tackle your problems than you will feel after listening to talk radio. All right, now I do all three of those things. Right? I do all three of those things. I'm just saying that where else can you get regular positive, you know, a positive hit rate on an encouraging message and something that propels you to see that, man, God is doing some cool stuff and you can be a part of it? Where else can you go and get equipped than, you know, in a way to tackle your week than here? And once you realize that, you go, oh my word, you're right, I need to make this a priority. In fact, I encourage you to do that. On the back of your connection card are some next steps, and we give you next steps every week as just a way to say, hey, here's what I'm going to do to begin to change some direction or make a change in my life. Well, one of them, maybe you're here for the first time, you're like, hey, I'm just going to return for the series. I don't know if I'll return indefinitely. But, you know, those of you who are connected here, you might just say, hey, I'm going to make it a goal to be at Crosspoint every week this year that I'm not sick or traveling. You know, because there's something that happens. I get encouraged. And see, once you do that, you know, it's not like so many times like, well, I'll go if, you know, I don't get asked out on Friday night and nobody invites me to the lake for the weekend and, you know, and I'm sleeping in, but if I get up from, you know, partying all night the night before, you know, I guess I'll go to church. I tell you what, you do that, you're going to be in the negative observant type, all right? You're going to be in a negative observant person. You need to be in a place that respells reality on a regular basis. In fact, this was measured recently by one foundation. They said this. They said people who attend religious services on a weekly basis are nearly twice as likely to describe themselves as very happy, 45%, than people who never attend. So this is important. Maybe you need to make that your next step at the beginning of 2016. Number three, never decrease vision. Never decrease vision. See, the reason that vision is so difficult, especially on the front end when we get an idea of where I want to go, is because we've never gone there or experienced that before. See, the reason vision is so hard is because, you know, we're doing something that's challenging us, and we're going to have all the excuses to come up short and to stop short of accomplishing what God's put on our heart. So once you get the vision for what God's saying, hey, here's what I want your next year to be about, never, 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 never decrease it. It's like, you know, it's like when you go to the gym the first day of the year. Some of you went to the gym on January 1st because, you know, many of us had physical, you know, resolutions. I'm going to work out 5 days a week. I'm going to lose X number of pounds. I'm going to do a certain amount of resistance training each week. And then you go on the second day of January and it's like you have amnesia. You know, you're like, oh, I can't remember how to use that machine, you know? And man, I'm on the treadmill and everything's bouncing, you know, things that aren't supposed to be bouncing are bouncing. And, you know, and you're like, did I really say 5 days a week? I meant 4 days a week. I mean, no, I didn't even mean four, I meant three. No, 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 I think I meant two. I'm going to do 2 days a week in the gym. No, see, immediately you start to decrease it. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, it needs to be done. Vision is very difficult, especially on the front end, but decreased vision will never get you to new places. It never will. Never will. Number four, which, by the way, I said this first thing. You guys should be clapping on that right there. You should be like, man, yes, I'm working my tail end up here on the first weekend of the year. You know, I don't know if you guys are hungover too or you just are tired, but, you know, usually you guys are like engaged with me, or maybe you're just negatively observant and you don't like what I'm telling you this morning. I don't know. All right, number four. Vision demands believing in a bright future. You can't have a vision for your life unless you believe in a bright future. You can't have a vision for your life unless you firmly believe that tomorrow can be better than today. And to accomplish that vision, whatever it is for you, you've got to hold tight to that, because you're going to be blown away by the criticism you begin to receive once you start going after that vision. Always happens. Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall. He has all kinds of critics, people saying it can't be done. You know, people are saying, oh, he's never going to raise the funds to rebuild the wall, and he raises the funds. There's people say, oh, he's never going to get the workers to complete the wall, and he gets the workers. And then there's people say, oh, man, he's never going to really make any progress on the wall. And what do you know? He begins to make progress. And when the walls start going up, here's what happens. It says, now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews, and he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of rubbish and the burned ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yeah, so what are they building? What are they building? If a fox goes up on their stone wall, it will break that stone wall down. Yeah, see, there's always one in the bunch, right? There's always somebody that's negative, negative, negative all the time. See, when you start doing something the negatively observant people aren't doing, guess what? Guess what? It's much easier for them to get down on you than for them to get moving and do something. Always is. It's much easier for them to go, oh, man, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're never going to be able to do that. But see, here's the thing. Think about it this way. Think about a clock. A broken clock is right 2 hours a day, right? I mean, even though they might be right every now and then, you know, they're wrong like, you know, 80, 90% of the time. We have to choose to believe that, man, there's a bright future in front of us and not let the negative impact us. Saw a great Instagram from Vontae Davis, who, you know, Vontae Davis, I mean, here they are heading into a game this weekend that's going to determine whether they make the playoffs, keep their coach, all kinds of things. Here's what he said. He said, positive people also have negative thoughts. They just don't let those thoughts control them. Tell you what, you want to live by a quote this upcoming year that'll change the way you view life? Tag on to that one right there. In fact, it's again one of our next steps this morning. Maybe you hear something negative and you just let it dictate your focus. And you need to, maybe on the back of this card, you need to mark that as your next step. Say, you know what, I am not going to let negativity drive my focus this upcoming year. All right, make it a next step. It'll change you. Another thing that will help us as we deal with difficult things, as we deal with the challenge of accomplishing our vision, is one of the best ways to deal with that is to get around people who are headed in the same direction. And I even say the same spiritual direction. And that's one of the reasons, you know, our community groups and Life Together groups are kicking off here in a couple weeks, because this is a critical part of us accomplishing some of the things that God has put on our hearts. Getting around people who are heading in the same direction. Being in community with people who are trying to tackle some of the same problems. You know, dealing with finances. If you're dealing with grief, getting into a grief group to help you process through how to get to a better place out of the difficult stuff you've gone through. And again, that's one of our next steps. Maybe that's a step for you to say, hey, I'm going to get in community, I'm going to sign up for a group, because it's a critical part of getting to a next place is being surrounded by people who can help you get there. In fact, for us here at Crosspoint, over the next couple months, you're going to be hearing more and more about some of the positive trends we're seeing here at Crosspoint and how we're wanting to expand on those. And I know as soon as we start talking about these here in a couple months, there's going to be people that are like, oh, man, we don't need to do that. Why are we doing that? That'll never work. You know, geez, all you guys want to do is get bigger and bigger. No. We just want to continue to expand the infrastructure to continue to be more and more of a blessing to our community and to the world. That's what we've done since we've began. In fact, some of you are here today. Some of you sitting in the seats today are here because we've continued to do this. We've continued to spot trends and say, hey, we're not satisfied where we are. We're going to continue to go and create a place for people to come and experience Jesus. You know, many of you are here today because we moved across the street. Not that Fall Creek Intermediate wasn't a great home for 7 years, but when we got into a place that was our home, our place, our auditorium, it expanded our opportunity to do ministry and to shape an environment for people to come and see Jesus for who he really is. And listen, it's been difficult. That transition hasn't been just rosy and peachy. I mean, there's been, you know, things we've had to endure along the way. We've had criticisms. We've had people upset with us because, you know, like, oh, man, you guys are all focused on everybody else instead of on me. I'm like, well, that's kind of a selfish thing to say. But, yeah, you're right. We're here for the community. That's why we're here. Nonetheless, we keep seeing these trending opportunities, and we say, hey, we want to be a part of that. And I tell you what, if the last year or two are any indicator, man, the future's bright. The future is bright here at Crosspoint. I'm excited. Fifth and final one, vision never fully arrives. Vision never fully arrives. See, God gives us or allows us to see enough vision to challenge us, but he doesn't let us see enough to dissuade us. See, Nehemiah gets a vision to rebuild the walls. He's like, man, I'm going to be a builder, all right? I'm not really a builder, but I feel a burden, so I'm going to learn how to be a builder. And I'm going to have to go on, I'm going to have to raise funds, even though I don't like to raise funds. I'm going to raise funds to rebuild the wall. And I'm going to have to figure out how to rebuild things. But see, what Nehemiah is not prepared for is that the vision is going to begin to expand. So as they begin to get into the rebuilding process, he begins to see some of his fellow Jews, some of his countrymen, working side by side on the wall, and he's like, oh, wow. There is a lot of disparity between the nation of Israel, but you know, between the rich and the poor. And it's like the rich are actually oppressing the poor. They're abusing the poor by charging these incredibly high interest rates, and it's not allowing the poor to get out of their poverty. And so here's what he says. He says, return to them this very day their fields, which they had kind of given over on loan, their vineyards, their olive orchards, their houses, and the percentage of money, grain, wine, and oil that you have been extracting from them. Then they said, we will restore these and require nothing from them. We will do as you say. So Nehemiah is aware. He sees, man, there's some systems of injustice that are operating here in Israel that are actually keeping the poor down. You know, it's amazing because in America, we have these systems of injustices that are, you know, still keeping the poor down, which is a message for a whole other time. We'll have that conversation another time. But for Nehemiah, he sees this. He's like, bam, vision expands. He invites Nehemiah, one of his close buddies, to come and dedicate the wall. Nehemiah is a high priest. In fact, he's got a book in the Bible as well. I'm sorry, Ezra, the high priest Ezra. He invites Ezra to come dedicate the wall. And Ezra begins reading the scriptures over the wall. And as he begins reading, he realizes, oh my word, these people don't know the Bible at all. And if they don't know the Bible, how are they going to know who God is? And so, bam, vision expands. Biblical literacy. See, all of a sudden, they're expanding to encompass these trends that they're seeing that also need to be addressed among their community. And so whatever it is that God has put on your heart for 2016, that's just what he's letting you know about for 2016. All right? That may not be what he's going to have you do in 2017 or 18 or 19 or 2020. It actually may not even be the limit of what he wants to do in 2016. He just gives us enough to challenge us and to weed out the negatively observant from the positive expectancy folks. And once he challenges us on that and he says, okay, who's going? Who's moving? Immediately, even those moving begin to say, oh, I got to do this now. And oh, I need to incorporate this in too. And it freaks us out a bit on the front end. But on the back end, it begins to point to a brighter and brighter and brighter future. Last verse I'll share with you. It comes from Jesus. Always a good place to end, right? Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their, what's that word right there? Unbelief. So the brightness of the future where Jesus was on this particular day was actually affected by the negative observancy. You see where this is going? He says the brightness of your future is in part, at least partially, influenced by your attitude about the future. Of whether you believe God is good, of whether you believe God has good days ahead for you, of whether you believe that God is a God of keeping his covenant and is steadfast in his love. And he says, you know, it's not about having perfect belief, but it's about those who expect it and say, you know what, I want that. I actually want to be in a different place when we get to the end of this year. I actually want to begin to move so I can begin to go toward that brighter and better future, which is, I think, what every single one of us wants. So let me pray for us. God, I just pray that every life in here today, I pray that every life that's listened to this on the web, God, we want to be different people as we start 2016. We don't want to be the normal humdrum, you know, the world's not going well, this sucks kind of person. We don't want to be that kind of person. God, we want to be the kind of people who are wedded to you, the kind of people who are linked to you, because where you are, we know that's always the brightest place. It's always the best place, God. And so, God, I just pray that you would stir our hearts, whatever that looks like. If that has to do with a physical component we're working on, something in our marriage, in a relationship that's broken down, something financial, God, whatever it is, I just pray that you would stir our hearts right now to want that. God, equip every muscle fiber in our being to go to that place with this next year. And God, I thank you for the power and the hope to be able to do that. For it's in your name we pray. Well, you know, we've been talking this morning about a bright future, about, you know, positive things, which I fully believe in, but I also know that, you know, life can be hard as well. And I know even in this room today, there are people who are dealing with difficult stuff. And, you know, we have a whole bunch of people in our spiritual heritage that have showed us what it looks like to kind of follow and pursue God out of difficulty and dearth and really difficult things. So Jesus did this, but there's many others as well. In fact, this song we're going to do right now, it's a song called It Is Well. It's an old hymn. We just kind of juiced it up a little bit. And I think you even wrote a tag to it as well, right, PJ? And so this song, originally, hundreds of years ago, was written by a guy who experienced incredible tragedy, incredible heartache. I mean, he actually lost most of his family in an ocean accident. And he writes this hymn, and he says, God, despite what I've been through over the last year, I'm actually going to go with you because I believe the future is always brighter. God, despite what I've experienced and the heartache I've had, I know your main thing is to bless me and to bless humankind. And so it's well with me because what I see is that the future with you is brighter than any place I can be in. And so let's stand and sing this hymn together. And let's make this our prayer. This is a prayer to words is what it is. And make this our prayer as we start 2016.